Chiefs go with three tight ends and a shotgun. They roll it to the right side. Mahomes pump faking. Now fires it late for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce from Patrick Mahomes! And the Chiefs lead 12-3. And now Mahomes to Kelce in the postseason for the 13th time. That's second in National Football League history to only Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. Chiefs have Kelce walking out as a flanker to the left side. Cincy with six men up on the line of scrimmage. Fake a delayed blitz. Mahomes will fire it late for the end zone. Caught! Marquez Valdes-Scantling on his backside. Touchdown! Kansas City! Marquez Valdes-Scantling on a 19-yard reception on third down and 10 at 4:15 to go third quarter. Third and four, Kansas City at the Bengal 47-yard line. Chiefs out of timeouts. Bengals four-man rush. Mahomes trying to buy some time on that bad ankle. Moving to his right. He is now scrambling, and he's going to get a first down. And now gets hit late! He gets hit late! He gets hit late! Mahomes gets hit late! It'll be a 15-yard penalty on top of the gain. And the gain should be bound to the 35-yard line. Harrison Butker, the biggest kick of his Chiefs life. Placement is down. Butker's kick is up. The spinning kick high, floating in the air. And it is good! 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 Did Cincinnati call timeout? They did not! They did not! They did not! It's a field goal from 45 yards out by Harrison Butker with 3 seconds to go in regulation. And that thing just hung up in the air like a golf shot, and it barely goes over the crossbar. There is the squib. It bounds in front of the receiver. Clock now. They're going to throw it across the formation, and it is caught over there, now slipping, and the Chiefs will tackle him. This game is over. This game is over. You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs as the AFC champions. And for the third time in 4 years, the Lamar Hunt Trophy, the trophy named after this franchise's founder, is back in Kansas City where it belongs. What a gutsy victory. Grab a bucket of guts. The Chiefs are going to end the season where they began the season, in Glendale, Arizona, and Super Bowl 57.
That was the call on the Chiefs Radio Network. Unfortunately, you didn't get to hear that on our radio stations because of NFL rules. We had Westwood One, which that's fine, too. They did a great job, but there's not that hometown passion, as you hear from Mitch Holtis, Smith Center native, calling it yesterday as the Chiefs knock off the Bengals 23-20. One of the grittiest wins I've ever seen in sports in my lifetime. And the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl once again for the third time in the past 4 seasons, the third time in 5 years with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. They're now 3-2 in AFC title games, and they have a chance to be 2-1 in the Super Bowl. Andy Reid will go up against his former organization he coached for 14 years, the Philadelphia Eagles, second-year head coach Nick Sirianni, and it'll be Jason versus Travis Kelce, the Kelce brothers. Boy, I want to watch the podcast the next few weeks with those guys. And what they have to say is Mama Kelce, as I saw on Twitter, the most powerful woman in the world now. And she has the split jersey, and one way or the other, one of her boys is going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
one of them is going
to
lose.
They'd hate to be the parents. I'm like, well, you're guaranteed to get a win no matter what. So
right. And Jason's already said in the podcast, the New Heights podcast with Travis, he goes, well, Travis says that their mom likes him more because he has a family and kids, and until Travis has kids. and then Jason says, well, you have a ring, so just let me have mine. Well, here we go. Yeah. Chiefs and the Eagles, and obviously Chiefs fans are hoping that Jason doesn't get a ring. He can just look at the... Doesn't he have the ring?
Jason's
from 18?
Got his, too. He's probably saying, if we play against each other,
I'm going to say, I don't feel bad for Jason Kelce. Yeah. He's got one, and Travis has one. So I guess at the end of the day, one of them's going to have two, and one of them has one. I would say that you would think that Kelce has maybe a better chance of getting more than just
Travis,
the two than Jason. But I don't know. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are doing some good things there. But
Jason has also kind of hinted at retirement the last couple of years. So
yeah, he's older. Yeah. So, yeah, and he plays offensive line. So we'll see. But it was a great win for the Chiefs. There is some controversy with it, of course, with any game, unless it's a blowout. And even a blowout, sometimes people can somehow claim that two calls cost 25 points or whatever it might be. But the Chiefs do win, and there are many things that we need to get to about this game, and we'll hopefully have time to talk a little college basketball with KU. KU got a huge win at Kentucky, and K-State blew out Florida. I mean, listen, it was a perfect weekend. If you're a K-State and Chiefs fan, if you're a KU and Chiefs fan, it was a perfect weekend. And I'm happy on top of that. We had a basketball team our last tournament of the year, and we did really well. Went 2-1 and got third at a tournament, and I was really proud of the kids and how much they've improved. So it was a really good weekend for Chiefs fans in general, KU fans, K-State fans, and add that into the fray for me personally. And so I am really, really surprised that Terry has not called and left a voicemail in regards to my prediction on Friday, which we will get to at some point. I don't want this to be all about me because this is about the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, but I did say that I will eat crow and I will play back my comments just like I will play back stuff when we're right or I'm right, and I will play it back when I'm wrong. And I'm wrong, and like I said, I'm more than happy to be wrong. I'm tickled pink that I'm wrong. I've never been happier to be wrong my entire life. I will say I saw a scenario like this developing. We even talked about it on Friday. But if you would have told me that the Chiefs lose all the guys they lost during this game and Marcus Kemp would be out there making a big catch on a drive, I'd been like, you're insane. There's no way that's going to happen.
Marcus Kemp didn't think that was going to happen.
No. Justin Watson wasn't even active for the game. They had Kemp because of special teams. Is there any local sports you need to mention before we get going?
No, we do have wrestling results from the Osborne Bulldogs over the weekend. You can find the full results at ncksports.com. They had a pretty good day there Saturday as far as some individuals. Chris Heist took first at 170 at the Workout Invitational there in Red Cloud, Nebraska. Sam Kendig took first at 182. A couple second-place finishes. Zach Jacobs at 152 and Grant Middleton at 220. Caden Schultz was third at 160. And then on the girls' side, Annie Kendig took second at 120 and Cheyenne Noel was third at 140. So, yeah, you can find full results for that and all the local sports info you need at ncksports.com.
All right, so the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl again with the win over the Bengals, 23-20 in AFC title game at Arrowhead Stadium, not Burrowhead Stadium. We'll go through some – well, let's go through a few particulars. First of all, the Chiefs' defense set the tone yesterday. They got three sacks early, three straight dropbacks, three sacks. Chris Jones finally got his first postseason sack. Clark got a sack. Dana got a sack. Karloftis got a sack. The Chiefs had five sacks in the game. And the Chiefs' offense really didn't do as much as they needed to be doing. They drove the ball, but then they settled for two field goals. And then they had the 4th-and-1. Every time it's 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, I get nervous. It makes no sense. Andy Reid's a genius, but somehow 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 is kryptonite. They went for it on 4th-and-1. Mahomes improvised. There's no way that was the play. And he throws it to Kelce for the touchdown, as you heard. That was a gigantic play. It made it 13-3, and the Chiefs were in control with 3:53 to go before halftime. And then the Bengals throw an interception. Jalen Watson made a nice play. Chiefs got pressure once again on Burrow. And we said if you can get pressure on a quarterback, it changes everything. And the Chiefs certainly did that yesterday. 12 quarterback hits, 5 quarterback sacks, and they forced the 2 interceptions. And the Chiefs then went into the old Andy Reid mode of, okay, I guess apparently that Mahomes just scrambled and threw a touchdown at Kelce. He's 100%. So now I'll just forget about running the ball. I'll go to the empty backfield and I'll chuck it 3 times. And the Chiefs had all the momentum in the world. They had a chance to go up 16-3 or 20-3. Here's the scenario. The Chiefs, if they would have done things right, and granted, we don't know if they would have been able to run the ball effectively, but at least they could have ran it once, made the Bengals call a timeout at least. The Chiefs could have had it well under 2 minutes before they had to maybe punt the ball back to the Bengals. And Andy Reid went 3 straight passes. The Bengals got the ball back above the 2 minute warning. The Chiefs had the ball for like, what, 12 seconds? After they got the interception, they have all the momentum in the world. And I know the Chiefs didn't run the ball very well yesterday. They never really tried to establish it, in my opinion. But still, it is what it is. 34 yards on 17 carries, I think, for the game. At halftime, they only had the 8 carries and they threw it 19 times. I thought Mahomes had an ankle thing, and the Chiefs are throwing it 67% of the time and 33% of the time they're running it. And Pacheco only had 3 carries at halftime. But I do understand the Chiefs did not run the ball well yesterday. That's fine. But the point of the matter is that you give the Bengals all that time, and even though you pinned them inside their own five, it's Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins. And what do you know? The Chiefs left them way too much time. So the offense put the Chiefs defense in a bit of a pickle. Even though the Bengals are starting at their own four, the Chiefs defense should not have had to defend for over 2 minutes with the Bengals having three timeouts. That should have never happened. All right? That was a mistake by Andy Reid. And I truly, truly believed, and I'm so glad it didn't happen, I felt like at the end of the night, we were going to be going back and looking at that horrible, horrible drive after you had a pick and had all the momentum, the place is going berserk. I thought that was going to cost the Chiefs the game. I really did. I thought, oh my, here we are. Two straight years the Chiefs mess up before halftime. But ladies and gentlemen, you can talk so much about Patrick Mahomes, and we will. And you can talk a lot about all the injuries and Chiefs overcame that. We will. You can talk about special teams coming through, and we will. But listen, the reason the Kansas City Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl is the defense. Let me repeat that. The reason the Kansas City Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl is because of the defense. And why is that? Let me go back to what happened in the offseason. The Chiefs fans freaked out. We were the first ones to tell you. The first ones to jump on board with Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs. While everybody else was freaking out, we were actually settled down talking about it. The Tyreek Hill trade is the best move for the Chiefs. It's a blessing in disguise. The Chiefs will be better because of it. They'll have a longer window to win Super Bowls. They don't tap $30 million a year in a prolific wide receiver. And, oh, by the way, they now get this draft capital. They help their cap for years to come, which creates a longer window. You get draft picks, multiple draft picks. And we said, what should you do? We said, if you're Brett Veach, what do you do with these draft picks? And we all said on this show, you address the defense. You have to improve the defense. The Chiefs went out and they got a top flight corner in Trent McDuffie. They got a pass rusher in George Karlaftis, who had a key sack yesterday. We'll go through what the rookies did. The rookies yesterday were phenomenal. They got tall, athletic corners. Last year they had shorter corners, tall, athletic corners. There's no Rashad Fenton trying to defend Ja'Marr Chase. It was Jalen Watson. It was Josh Williams. It would have been Ladarius Sneed, but he got knocked out with a concussion. Trent McDuffie made a big play, as I mentioned earlier, on a tip ball. Josh Williams and Jalen Watson each had the interceptions. Those are rookies. At one point, the Chiefs had eight rookies on the field, whether it's offense-defense combination. Sky Moore, a huge punt return. We can go on and on about these young players. Brett Veach deserves as much credit, and maybe even more so, than Andy Reid today. Because of the draft picks that he made, the shrewd move of trading Tyreek Hill, and yes, the Chiefs were down to hardly any wide receivers, and would they have liked to have Tyreek Hill last night? Sure. But if the Chiefs had Tyreek Hill last night, you wouldn't have had that improved defense. You wouldn't have had it. And so the Chiefs, we said during the offseason, when they traded Tyreek Hill, that the Chiefs are going to have to win games differently. And we talked about our predictions going into the season, that we all had the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl. We all had the, I had the Chiefs have to go to Buffalo to win the Super Bowl, get through Buffalo, and I predicted they would. They didn't have to play Buffalo because the Bengals knocked them off. But the Chiefs, we said, we're going to win the division again, but they're going to have to win it differently. They're going to have to be a different type of team. They're going to have to learn how to check the ball down. They're going to have to learn how to do what the Bengals did last year. Take 6-7 minutes off the clock, take the check downs, run the football, be a little bit more patient. You're not going to have the big crossing route to Tyreek Hill, who's going to take it 70 yards to the house like he did in the Bills divisional playoff game last year. Okay, we knew the Chiefs had to play differently, but what was the key to playing differently? We said that means that special teams has to be better, and it means that the defense has to be better. And the Chiefs are going to go, and this is what we predicted, and go back and play the tape. We talked about in the offseason, after the Chiefs made the trade for Tyreek Hill, after they made all the moves in free agency, after they made the moves with the draft, we said the Chiefs are going to have to win games. They're not going to be as sexy winning games as they used to be. They're not going to win the 41-37 shootout. They're not going to lose to the Rams on a Monday night 54-51. Okay? They're going to win games 27-24, 23-20, 31-28 might be the high end. They're not going to put up tons of points every single week. They're going to be less possessions. They're not going to have the big play. Their defense has to play better. It has to be improved. They got rid of Tyrann Mathieu. They let him go, all right? They signed a younger Justin Reed. Reed struggled early in the year. He's really come on. They don't have Ben Neiman anymore. They're more athletic with Willie Gay. They, and even Darius Harris. They let go of Daniel Sorensen. Now Juan Thornhill and Brian Cook, a rookie, gets to play serious time yesterday instead of Daniel Sorensen. Does anybody think Daniel Sorensen would have made some of those plays yesterday? I don't. Okay, everybody's laughing, and that's because we all agree with that. The Brett Veach deserves so much credit for what he did in this offseason in a retooling year, or in some people saying a little bit of a slight rebuild. Brett Veach deserves all the credit in the world. And the scouting, the drafting, the trade of Tyreek Hill, this is what the Patriots did. And we said it back then, too. The Patriots knew when to walk away from a player. They knew that this guy is too much for... He might be worth that much to somebody else, but he's not worth breaking the bank for. The only guy worth breaking the bank for most teams, if you're smart, is your quarterback. That's it. And the Chiefs did that with Patrick Mahomes, and now he's not even one of the top five highest-paid quarterbacks in regards to the average value per year. I believe he's not even top three. He might be four or five. The Chiefs made the right move by trading Tyreek Hill. And in all the national experts who don't have any time on their hand, well, they, in fairness to them, they have to try to study all the NFL teams, not just one. The Chiefs are our team. But it was the easy, lazy narrative. And the lazy narrative, we called it before the season. We called out all these people who make tons of money, talking heads on ESPN and Fox, who shout and yell and scream. And some of them even said the Chiefs are going to have a losing record. Some people said they're going to finish last in their division. Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, the Broncos are going to make the playoffs. We heard all the noise. The Raiders are just as good as the Chiefs. The Bills are way better. The Bills got better. The Bengals got better. The Chiefs got worse because they got rid of Tyreek Hill. And we were sitting there going, how do you figure? The Chiefs went ahead and got now more guys to throw to, and with Juju Smith-Schuster and others. They got MVS, who came up big yesterday. They also got talent in the draft, a running back, a seventh-round pick. They got tall corners. They've got Justin Reed, a good addition to the defense. Willie Gay playing all the snaps instead of letting Ben Neiman play sometimes. Listen, they got Karlaftis. They did pick up Dunlap, which was a nice, you know, fill in the piece in place of Melvin Ingram, who they had last year. I mean, Brett Veach did everything he had to do. And now he has the freedom this offseason. The Chiefs could go trade for DeAndre Hopkins if they want to. They could. They have the draft capital. They got the money. The Chiefs could go after a DeAndre Hopkins. They could go after another free agent wide receiver. They could trade for somebody. They could simply, they could stockpile their picks, trade up, and get a number one wide receiver in the top 15 of the draft, possibly. There's all kinds of possibilities for the Chiefs in the offseason. We'll get to that later on after the Super Bowl. But to me, all of the talk, and this is, again, the easy, simple way of doing things as reporters, is let's play like we're lemmings, okay? And let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes did a great job yesterday, but he isn't the sole reason they won. Okay, the defense and Brett Veach and what he did, and give Steve Spagnuolo a ton of credit, by the way, because all these Chiefs fans talking about, oh, he's predictable, he always blitzes, now he's not blitzing enough, and he's horrible, and we need to get a defensive coordinator, blah, blah, blah. His game plan yesterday was phenomenal, and this reminded me of his game plan that took down the Patriots when they're 18-0, when they only scored 14 points, and they were a high-flying offense with Randy Moss. Steve Spagnuolo had a game plan. After the game last night, Andy Reid said in a post game conference, our defense was excited all week long. He goes, I kept hearing our defense saying, we can't wait to get out there. They were so confident in Steve Spagnuolo's plan. They knew it was going to work, and they couldn't wait to go out and execute it. And that's exactly what they did. So let's get back to the game. Before halftime, the Bengals drive it down the field. The Bengals have a chance to score a touchdown. And everybody on Twitter that I saw during commercial breaks, because I was not going to be on Twitter during the game, but during breaks, I would check it. All the Chiefs fans were nervous Nellies, super negative. It's going to be 13-10 at halftime. You didn't give the defense any credit whatsoever, and the defense came up and held them to another field goal. So at halftime, should the Chiefs have been up more than 13-6? Yes. But the Chiefs defense was put in some tough spots. The Chiefs defense held the Bengals to two red zone field goals. That cannot be overlooked, what the defense did at that point of the game. In the second half, the defense gave up the one touchdown drive. Okay, great throw and catch to T. Higgins, 13-13. But also, later on, of course, the Chiefs gave up the fourth down and six to Chase after Mahomes made a great pass to Scantling for a touchdown. But remember, that last touchdown the Bengals got was about at midfield because Mahomes inexplicably lost the ball out of his hands. So the defense had to defend the short side of the field. And by the way, the defense was there. They just didn't make a play on a fourth and six jump ball. And sometimes great players make great plays. Jamar Chase did. And then all of a sudden people are ripping Brian Cook. He's horrible. I'm like, horrible. He's a rookie who he's got talent. It's not the end of the world. And lo and behold, later in the game, they run the same route with T. Higgins. And guess what? Brian Cook adjusts. He learned from his mistake. He deflects the ball. It's picked off by Josh Williams. That was a huge play by the defense. I mean, there's so many plays we can talk about. You know, special teams. One of the reasons I didn't pick the Chiefs to beat the Bengals, special teams, until I see it, how can I believe it? Special teams. We talked about last week, it's possible the Chiefs could have a complete game, put it all together in three phases. But we haven't really seen it all year long. I mean, the Bucs was a pretty good game. The 49ers played great offensively. Defense was solid. Special teams is what it is. It wasn't nothing great all year. Special teams was huge yesterday. Butker made his field goals. Townsend had good holds. The long snaps were good. The game-winning field goal was money. And Sky Moore needs to be recognized. Mm-hmm. Sky Moore, Chiefs fans, you need to act. You know, if you're going to rip a guy just horribly, like the Chiefs fans did all year long with Sky Moore, who muffed three punts. Sky Moore had no choice but to return punts. The Chiefs had no choice but to put Sky Moore back there because Tony and Hardman were hurt, and Justin Watson wasn't active. That was the only guy that had experience returning punts, except Trent McDuffie. They could have put him back there. Okay? They went with Sky Moore. And Sky Moore, we were nervous when the Bengals punted there towards the end, my oldest son and I, but I also thought this also could be a great story of redemption, and Moore might have, he might take it to the house. He got a 29-yard punt return to midfield. Listen, without that punt return, that game goes to overtime. I'm convinced of that. It goes to overtime, and who knows what happens. That 29-yard punt return by Sky Moore should be not overlooked. So, listen, we just went over all the stuff the special teams did well, all right? The Tommy Townsend pinned him inside the 10 twice. He was great punting. Butker was great kicking. The holds were good. The long snaps were good. The coverage units weren't bad. They did give up one kick return out to the 40, so they had one bad coverage. But all in all, the special teams did a wonderful job. And the defense was phenomenal. And I haven't even gotten to the offense, and that's what the national people all talk about. Mm-hmm. They want to talk about Mahomes with his run, and they want to talk about Mahomes with one leg, and that's fine. The quarterback gets all the credit when you win, and they get all the blame when they lose. But to me, on this show, I want to give the defense credit, and I want to say thank you to Chris Jones, and I want to say thank you for stepping up and coming up big in a huge game, and I will back off of my criticism, Chris Jones. I do wonder why he hasn't done this more often, but still, the fact is, Jones delivered. He was the catalyst for this defense, okay? Two sacks, five quarterback hits, three tackles for loss, multiple pressures. That didn't count how many times the Bengals got called for a couple of holding penalties and other times where they had to double-team Jones, and that freed up Mike Dana, who played well. Karlaftis got a sack because Chris Jones was double-teamed. Frank Clark was one-on-one on the edge. Chris Jones was the MVP of this game, in my opinion, not Patrick Mahomes. And I love Patrick Mahomes, and he did great things. But the guy that delivered was Chris Jones. The Chiefs had to have three phases to beat the Bengals because the Bengals are that good. They had a special teams, defense, and they had to have the offense, you know, do enough. And honestly, the last two games the Chiefs lost to the Bengals, and we talked about after each one, the offense, you could blame the offense more than the defense. The defense held the Bengals at 24 in regulation each of the last two games, okay? The Chiefs' offense put the defense in tough spots due to turnovers in each of those games. The offense had turnovers late in each of those games as well, or in overtime in the AFC title game. The defense did enough to win the last two games. The offense didn't. And honestly, last night, I don't think the offense barely did enough, but it was the defense that set them up. Because Mahomes does not get the ball to have his heroics where he runs and then a personal foul when he gets bumped out of bounds without Chris Jones getting a sack of Joe Burrow on 3rd-and-8 without the Chiefs defense stepping up and getting pressure on Joe Burrow. And the corners held up pretty well. Ja'Marr Chase did not have a huge game. T. Higgins did not have a huge game. They had a couple plays here and there, yes. I will say the Bengals did what the Chiefs and many other teams do, and that is the game was never out of reach for the Bengals. And they abandoned their running game. Mm-hmm. They did. They abandoned Joe Mixon and Samuel Perine. Why were they not running the ball a little bit more, especially when you see your quarterback get sacked three times on the first drive? I, for the life of me, don't understand why coaches – it's like coaches go brain dead. The Bengals weren't down 21-0. They were down 13-3. That was the worst deficit they had all game long. Why they quit running the ball, I'll never for the life of me understand. And I know they weren't running it at will right off the bat, but they, too, never tried to establish anything with the running game, especially when your quarterback's under siege most of the first half. I don't understand why coaches do that. At the end of the day, I'm thankful that they did it because that helped the Chiefs win the football game. But guys, this to me, you know, Mahomes made an unbelievable throw to Scantling. How he snuck that in for a touchdown was I thought it was picked off when I saw it. That was an amazing throw. the defense we talked about, the special teams, and then, of course, the offense on that final drive, it was kind of like Mahomes is willing his team to victory. Like, I don't care if I break my leg, snap my ankle in half. I don't care if you have to remove my leg. I am going to find a way to get this team in the field goal range. That's how I felt when I was watching it. And Mahomes talks about that mobility and that final run and then the push out of bounds. And everybody arguing about that is ridiculous. That was a clear out of bounds penalty. That was as clear as day. Here is Mahomes on his mobility on that final run.
I didn't expect to be able to run very much just from the way it felt, but the training staff, Julie, did a great job of getting me enough range and mobility that I was able to protect myself. And at the end of the game there, I had a run to get the first down, and it got us into field goal range. So credit to them, and then just trying to stay on it, and we have two more weeks, so we got to keep doing it. Yeah, I tried to a couple times in the game where I was trying to get through spots that I usually could get through, and you could see that I didn't have that burst that I usually have. So I got the ball out of my hands quickly. I think you saw that, and I threw probably a few more checkdowns than I usually would throw, and relied on my teammates to make the plays happen, and that's what they did.
Mahomes had enough mobility yesterday, and we talked about how it might be a blessing in disguise. I did a force him to stay in the pocket a little bit longer. And there are a few key plays in this game, including the pass to Scantling, where he, I think, would have normally have taken off. And he stepped up, and he threw a dart. And he didn't have to. He wasn't able to fully step off that right ankle. And he threw a dart for Scantling for the touchdown, putting him up 20-13. And there's no doubt Mahomes certainly deserves credit. When I talk about the defense is the biggest reason they won, that doesn't mean Mahomes doesn't deserve credit. There's no doubt about that. I think the offensive line deserves some credit. Yes, Mahomes had some pressure. That's going to happen. The offensive line, they were bad at run blocking, but they did a really good job for the most part of protecting Patrick Mahomes. He didn't take a ton of hits, so you got to give credit there to the offensive line. It is a team sport, and sometimes the quarterback gets a lot more glory than he should, or he gets all the glory he should, but then sometimes he gets more blame than he should. It's part of being the highest paid position in the National Football League. You are the face of the franchise, and of course Mahomes, in essence, is the face of the National Football League. Here is Mahomes on the importance of winning and finally getting past the Bengals.
We felt like we needed to get this win. We wanted to play this team, and we got them at Arrowhead Stadium, and we were able to finish the job this time. And I mean, the job's not finished for us. I mean, we got a chance to go up against a great football team in Philadelphia Eagles, and so we got to enjoy this for about a day. And then get right back to it, because I've been in the Super Bowl, man, and winning it's a lot better than losing it.
Andy Reid, there was no doubt Mahomes was ready. He was going to play.
Well, he gave me no opportunity to not think that he wasn't going to play. I mean, he never missed a snap. Our players, our team, coaches, we're all lucky to have him in that position. And the mindset, that whole mindset, so it carries over to everybody. And there was no denying that he was, I mean, you know, there was no question he was going to play. It was pure grit, he and Kels. But for Pat to do what he did and then to have that run at the end, I mean, I can't say enough. He is the MVP in my eyes.
Yeah, you can't disagree with that. And then back to the defense. I mean, the front seven, the front four did a really good job. The Chiefs could get some pressure without blitzing, which is so critical. Here's Reid on the defense and the leaders.
Chris Jones had an unbelievable game, along with Frank Clark. I mean, constantly in the backfield and just busted their tail. I mean, what a performance they had.
And we talked about how the defense had a big day, but the special teams, a little bit of redemption, according to Andy Reid.
Butker, I mean, what a redemption story. He comes back, and after a high ankle sprain, has kind of moved his season a different direction than he wanted for a period there, and he came back and just knocked it out. Sky Moore, who had the drops early, was called on to go out there and return, and he did a great job.
And how about Butker? Chiefs fans wanted to cut him during the season. That's, you know, it's a good thing Chiefs fans are not in charge of management and what to do. Butker's on his emotions of, I mean, he absolutely bombed that final field goal straight down the middle.
I try to treat every kick the same, so every kick's a big kick. So when I got in that obviously big moment, you know, I treat it like any other kick of the season. So it's kind of been a roller coaster year for me, and I'm just so thankful for God for blessing me to be in this situation, and I'm thankful that ball went through the uprights.
course, Cincinnati was talking a little bit during the week. They're cocky, they're arrogant, they're confident, but they could back it up. And they had their chances to win yesterday, no doubt. But here's Mahomes on Cincinnati's pregame talking.
Yeah, I think guys were probably the most pumped up I'd seen them going into a football game. A lot of trash talk coming from a lot of different places. I think no one picked us to win. If so, it was like 5% of people. And we think we've built up enough respect to have a chance to go out and win every game. So whenever you feel like you're the underdog, when you're playing at Arrowhead Stadium, it gets guys ready to go. I mean, yeah, Burrowhead, they beat us last time. They were talking about we got to play them. There was a lot of stuff. I mean, the mayor came at me, man. I mean, I understand he's the mayor of Cincinnati, so he has to think about something. But, it's something that you just got to play the football game and then let your play do the talking.
Here's Andy Reid on Cincinnati's pregame hype and talk.
Our guys did a great job of not going that direction. Their mayor said it all. And I'm glad our mayor just did what he did and some people heard it.
Oh, yeah, all of them heard it, not just some. And speaking of the Cincinnati mayor, remember that Travis Kelce went to the University of Cincinnati. He played for the Bearcats. Kelce had a message for the mayor after the game.
I appreciate you. How about this beautiful trophy? Huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party.
You jabroni. I was like, what does jabroni mean? And my oldest son says, you know what?
Quote from The Rock. The whole thing.
My oldest son says, it means loser. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know if it was a bad word or something. I didn't know for sure. And so, and my oldest son says, well, Travis Kelce will be the first one to tell you he's not really good. He's not as smart as some people may think, this and that. But apparently he knows what it actually means because he used it in the right context. And the Cincinnati mayor, I hear, has already been dethroned today. He's been kicked out of Cincinnati for all that stuff. There was all kinds of bulletin board material. Listen, I don't think the Chiefs needed the bulletin board material. I said it before. If you needed it, then you have to worry. The bulletin board material was, one, you got to win and beat the Bengals at home to go to the Super Bowl. Two, you can't let the same team beat you on your own home turf two straight years. And three, they'd beaten you three times in a row. Now, that should have been more than enough motivation, and I think it was. I think all this other stuff just added to the entertainment value of it all. But the Chiefs, you could tell, you could see in Kelce's eyes when the Chiefs hit the field goal by Butker. Kelce, and I know it was cold outside, but there looked like to be tears in his eyes. Like he wanted to win it so bad. Chris Jones was so mad after letting Burrow get away last year in the playoff game when he thought he should have a sack or two. This was redemption for him. You know, Mahomes, you knew that he wanted to beat him so bad. He was tired of all this talk about Burrow's undefeated. He's the kryptonite. Can't beat Burrow. Can't beat the Bengals. And so forth and so on. I mean, but it's an amazing win for the Chiefs because of a couple of things. One, okay, we talked about the awful drive after the before the two-minute warning, and we talked about the defense bailing out the offense from that standpoint, holding the Bengals to a field goal. They dominated first quarter, most first half. They're only up 13-6 halftime. Three and out right away second half, and you didn't feel good because then the Bengals went and tied it, and I thought, okay, here we go. But if you would have told any of us that before the game, and the Chiefs are pretty healthy going into this game, except for, of course, Mahomes, but then we find out that Kelce tweaked his back on the last play of practice. He was questionable as of yesterday, a few hours before the game. He was worried he might not be able to go. They lost L'Jarius Sneed to a concussion early in the game, in the first quarter. Juju Smith-Schuster left with a knee injury. Willie Gay left with a shoulder injury. Mecole Hardman re-aggravated his pelvis injury. Kadarius Toney, who seems to always be hurt, got hurt early in the game. Patrick Mahomes was playing on one leg at times. Kelce's back was not 100%. The Chiefs, the last few drives of the game, Patrick Mahomes, here were his targets. He had Kelce still, who wasn't 100%, which they were taking away, which was smart. He had to make a pass to Marcus Kemp, who was elevated from the practice squad to the game on game day. Justin Watson was deactivated. Scantling was phenomenal. He had some big-time plays yesterday. He came through. Six catches, 116, of course, a touchdown. And Sky Moore, who didn't do a lot in the receiving game, but that's who Mahomes had on the field. And then he had Noah Gray, Jody Fortson, who had just been activated off the IR, and, of course, Travis Kelce. Joe Burrow had Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. Now, Boyd left the game. I don't know if he came back. And then they had Hayden Hurst, and they had their running backs. The Bengals had way more weapons than the Chiefs did, obviously. And the Bengals had the better offensive weapons than the Chiefs going into the game. But they definitely did in the second half when the Chiefs had guys dropping like flies. And yet the Chiefs still won. And that still goes back to guys stepping up. You know, Josh Williams stepping in for L'Jarius Sneed. That goes back to Sky Moore stepping in for, you know, Hardman or Tony. It goes back to Darius Harris, who doesn't get enough credit. He came in place of Willie Gay and did fine in the second half. You have to have guys step up. And by the way, if you go back and watch that run by Mahomes, where he got the first down and he got hit out of bounds for the late penalty, Noah Gray is ahead of the play, and he realizes that Mahomes is running for the first down. And instead of just being a spectator and standing there, he actually gets in the way on purpose and kind of body blocks Mike Hilton to where he can't come up and make the play. Now, I don't know if Mahomes would have got the first down or not, but what I will say is if Hilton was not blocked there, if Gray doesn't get in the way and have the presence of mind to do that, more than likely, Mahomes gets hit on the sideline. I don't think there is a late hit. So then there isn't a 15-yard penalty. So now the Chiefs are faced with 8 seconds remaining, no timeouts, and they still need to get probably 10 yards to get Butker in the field goal range because it was a colder weather day. Ball wasn't traveling as far. They said the kickers weren't doing very well past 50 yards. That is a small detail that a lot of people, including the national people, will not spot. They'll also do not, I noticed the national people don't mention anything about Sky Moore's punt return. So we all get caught up in Mahomes running on one leg, getting a first down. First of all, it took Noah Gray to block. It took Sky Moore to return a punt 29 yards. It took Chris Jones and the defense to stop the Bengals with 2:36 on the clock, and they had timeouts in the fourth quarter to get the ball back with 41 seconds to play. All of that had to happen. It isn't just Patrick Mahomes. I'm not trying to hate on Mahomes. I love the guy. But he didn't do this single-handedly. All right? It's the way some people treat it. It's like he's the only guy that did anything. He wasn't. There's so many guys that contributed. Now let's get to the rookies. Trent McDuffie, first-round draft pick, 6 tackles, 2 passes defense. Did you see the play where he jumped so high and tipped that ball? That was going to be a first down on a 3rd and long.
Mm-hmm.
And he tipped it and changed direction of the ball incomplete. That was a gigantic play that people are going to overlook. George Kalafdis, rookie, got a sack and some pressure. Sky Moore, 3 catches. We mentioned the 29-yard punt return. Brian Cook, 4 tackles, had a couple penalties on special teams. He had the pass interference. He got there a little bit early. That was a good call. Chiefs fans sitting here complaining about that call. You don't know football. I mean, you hit him early before the ball gets there. That's pass interference. That was the right call. But then he gives up the play. The Ja'Marr Chase comes back and gets the pass breakup that results in the interception. Josh Williams, another rookie, 4th-round pick, he ends up getting the interception. Jalen Watson had a gigantic interception last week against the Jaguars. Of course, a big one early in the year to change the Charger game, a 99-yard pick 6. And also, of course, Jalen Watson comes up with a big pick there that the Chiefs wasted in the first half against the Bengals. And that's a 7th-round draft pick. And by the way, there's another 7th-round draft pick, Isaiah Pacheco, who had a pretty big catch and run on a screen play in the fourth quarter. And, you know, if they gave him the ball a little bit more, maybe he would have done more. I don't know. He's your kick returner. He didn't fumble the ball. He didn't really have great returns, but he did okay. I mean, the Chiefs and Brett Veach, look at this. I gave you 7 prominent rookies that played yesterday in the AFC title game who had never been in the AFC title game before. Only their 2nd playoff game. And these guys came up and played so well, and Brett Veach needs to get a game ball for the fact that he traded Tyreek Hill, and he helped the defense, he addressed the defense, he got a receiver, he got a running back late in the 7th round, and all these guys are big-time contributors. I mean, McDuffie, Karloftis are starters. Jalen Wilson's a starter, Pacheco. 4 of those 7 are starters, and the others are important pieces to the puzzle. And listen, Josh Williams had to come in and play well. L'Jarius Sneed got knocked out of the game. Darius Harris was a free agent pickup the Chiefs got. That fills in for Willie Gay. We got to give credit to Brett Veach, man. Absolutely. These guys did a wonderful job. So what stands out, I'll hand it over to Dusty here. By the way, the Chiefs running game, 34 yards on 17 carries. Their top 3 wide receivers out with injury. Mahomes was on one leg. He still threw for 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, a 105 rating, and ran for the first down to seal the game. And you want to sit here and tell me Burrow's better? Even the Bengals won last night, there's no way Burrow's better than Patrick Mahomes. There's no way. And I never thought he was better. And I'm not saying just because Mahomes won a game that automatically gives Mahomes the crown. He already had the crown. It should have never been taken away. That's my point.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that part of it at all. Yeah, I listen, I, like right away, I knew it was going to be maybe a little different here because they defense. Did. They got pressure. They yep. got sacks early. They got to him. And, you know, people wanted to talk about, you know, they should be able to do this year because they've got injuries on their offensive line. Well, they had a terrible offensive line last year.
Yes, they did.
Whether it was injured or not, it was terrible.
And they sacked
him
once.
They didn't get to him hardly at all.
Yeah.
You know, one sack, like you said. And so when they got that pressure early, Chris Jones finally got that monkey off his back, got an early sack that he'd never had in the postseason, right? I'm like, maybe he's going to have something different today.
Yeah.
Maybe this is going to be his kind of like, okay, I'm going to take over. This is my game today. And really, for the most part, all game it was. You know, they had to work to keep him away from Burrow even more. So that was the first thing, obviously, that stood out to me because that's what I talked about on Friday, right? I was like, if they can get pressure and actually take him down in the backfield, they're going to have a much better chance of winning. And obviously, that played true throughout the game. They sacked him five times. They got the huge one on the last drive, put him in fourth and 16, and they had to punt. So,
but let me stop you for just a quick second. And I totally agree with you, but this is one of the points I was trying to make on Friday. Even if you do get all the pressure in the world, I could still see the Chiefs losing
still
the game.
Still a close game,
And by the way, the Bengals had the ball. 20-20 tie with 2:36 to go. The offense hadn't done enough. And after all the things the defense had done the entire game and gotten all those sacks and all those pressures and the two turnovers, it's normally that would mean you win comfortably. But with the Bengals, it still wasn't enough until at the very end where they did get the sack. They got the pressure on a 3rd and 8. And I think part of that's coverage down the field, too. And so you're absolutely right. Pass rush helps you win football games, no question. But honestly, usually when you dominate, like the Chris Jones and the Chiefs did for a good spell, you're up more than 13-6 at halftime.
Yeah, it's still a team sport, and everybody else has to do their thing, right? So, that was obviously my concern early in the game, is all we're getting out of this is field
goals. We're wasting this performance.
And so this performance is not going to matter if we can't get the ball in the end zone.
That's right.
And so, you know, they did that a couple times, and then, you know, I think it's just wild to me when you're watching a game like this and you're just like, it's 20-13. Oh, we can roll down and go score here and get at least a 10-point lead, right? And then all of a sudden, just
the ball just
weird
falls out of Mahomes'
happens.
Hand.
He's just trying to wind up and throw it, and he just loses it.
Yeah.
And he knew at that point, like, oh, he's not going to have this. Unless he catches this ball, he's not getting it.
Yep.
And so it's just weird how the game can go and just something just real quick can just change the whole trajectory of what you're thinking in your mind of how this could go.
Isn't
and
it's it
just like, oh my God, your heart just falls into your gut.
Yes. Isn't that funny? Like, at least I don't know about how you guys felt, but while I was watching the game, I felt like after what the defense did right off the beginning of the game, that the Chiefs were in control of the game from the beginning. And I felt they're in control of the game for the most part. And then they had two chances, I thought, to perhaps knock them out. And that was, we already documented the horrible, horrible drive after they got the pick from Watson. They could have been up 16-3, 20-3, or at least been up 10 and milked the clock and then have the ball to start second half at worst. So that was horrible. Had a chance. And I felt like that was going to cost them. Luckily, it didn't. The second situation that almost cost them, it did cost them, is you're up 20-13, you're driving. And then inexplicably, the ball falls out of Mahomes' hands for a fumble. And right away, as a Chiefs fan, you're like, why does this happen against the Bengals? Like, how does this happen? And, of course, you felt like the Bengals were going to go score. And one of the best things that happened to the Bengals was the end of the third quarter allowed them more time to think about going for it on 4th and 6. And I knew they were going to. I knew they were going to. I mean, why wouldn't you? And some people still wonder why Andy Reid didn't go for it 4th and 8 on that last drive the Chiefs had. And obviously, we're thankful he didn't now, because if they didn't get it, the Bengals all needed was two passes, and they would have had a long field goal. So Andy should get credit for that. But that, to me, that decision by Andy Reid, 4th and 8, was I trust my defense more on my offense, and I agreed with him.
Going for it at that point in the game where they were at never even entered my mind.
At the Bengal,
like,
37.
You're going to kick a long field goal, you're going to punt. And I said, I don't think he's going to kick the long field goal here.
Yeah, right.
I never even thought about going for it. And then I saw people on Twitter saying, hey, he should have gone for it. I'm like,
The
defense is playing pretty well here, making stops. The way they played this game, I think he's comfortable in thinking that maybe we'll get one more of those big plays.
And he was right.
Yeah.
I thought he could have gone for it. I wasn't clamoring for it, but I thought, okay, here's his options. He could go for it 4th and 8, keep the ball in Mahomes' hands, but he's got a whole bunch of receivers that he's not used to working with. So that was one reason why I thought.
Quarterback, it's not 100%.
Right, exactly.
Still.
Right.
There's so much that I didn't even think about it because I probably had have that all back in my subconscious, right?
But as a coach, you have to think about all the options.
Yeah, and he does too. Right. You know, he's probably thinking the same things we're thinking.
Well, yeah.
You know?
But if the defense wasn't playing well, he probably would have gone for it.
Yeah, if it's 45-42, he's going for it. Right.
Yeah, or the defense had struggled in the last 42-42. Or even if it's the same score and the defense had just given up a touchdown or two, he probably goes for it. And then he also, I think, remembered, I settled for a 55-yard field goal in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to settle here. Well, he settled, he punted, but he trusted his defense, and defense came through, obviously. I didn't think the Chiefs were going to get the ball back in time
to score.
I did, too. So I was really happy with that. The intentional grounding call was a huge call on the Bengals, even though they ended up converting it. 3rd and 16, I'm like, here we go. We're going to give it up, and we did. But then we stopped them on the next possession, or the next series of downs. But that was a big play, too, and that came from pressure. That intentional grounded call came due to pressure. There's so many things you attribute the Chiefs' win because of what the defense did, whether it was pressure or coverage or schemes by Steve Spagnuolo. But despite all those things the Chiefs did right, they were in super danger of losing the game at the end like they always do, the Bengals.
Where you guys are like, or Chiefs fans are like, oh, this is happening against the Bengals again. I had flashbacks of old Andy Reid losses. The beginning went so well, but it was only 6-0.
Yep.
The bad challenge on the Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, well, that was just
that
bad.
Was that, I've seen that a thousand times.
Toney needs to run over to Andy Reid and say, "Dude, don't challenge." He knew right away he didn't catch.
He didn't argue.
I didn't understand that.
I've seen receivers catch two hoppers
Andy Reid does not do well on challenges.
Throw the flag and no. He didn't even argue. Toney didn't argue. He didn't make any gestures. He should have put an end to that one. But the bad challenge, the 6-0, and then where I really thought it was bad was 2 minutes, ball on the 39-yard line, and knowing that you're getting the ball back to start the second half, and that ended up -3.
Yes.
You know, those three possessions, like somehow that could have been obviously at best 14 plus 14, maybe even conservatively.
Well, it would have been
just
13.
Plus
13.
Yeah, well, yeah, but just yeah. that situation, you know,
right.
Maybe you get two touchdowns, maybe you get two field goals, whatever, but you already had the 10-point lead, so that's what you're adding it to. That's the point where you maybe don't put it away, but you know, you had to be plus in that situation at least. And they were -3. They lost 3 points in that whole ordeal. And I was like, that's it.
Yep.
That's it.
That's what I thought too.
And
I
when
thought
they
that's
didn't
come
score,
back to haunt them.
When they didn't score at the first time they had the ball in the second half,
yep.
I thought, all right, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's either going to be a muffed punt. It's going to be some weird play.
Yep.
And you know, they had the Mahomes
fumble. Right.
And I'm like, there's going to just be one weird play coming up, and they're not going to win.
But there was, and they overcame.
To their credit,
and they overcame. Yeah. And that's what Matthew Derrick said with us last week. He said, I asked him, are the Bengals in the Chiefs' head? And he goes, I think a little bit. And he goes, if it's close and it's late, and they might wonder when the shoe drops. And I think the time the shoe dropped was when Mahomes fumbled the ball. That was a point where the Chiefs could have been like, oh, you got to be kidding me. We're just cursed against these guys. But they found a way to win the game. And, I mean, there's so many things you can talk about in this game, but we discussed many of them. Sky Moore, I want to hear from him because he had the big punt return. I felt so good for this guy after making that play.
You know, tried to stay confident and believe in myself. You know, like you said, a lot of things went wrong this season, but all that didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? I just needed to be there for my team. You see KT go down. You see Justin Watson go down. You see McCole go down. I'm the last line of defense, basically. So, you know, I had to stand up, and I felt like I did that.
He did. Sky Moore did. And that was absolutely a huge punt return for the Chiefs. And it's a gritty win. And if you would have gave the scenario that the Chiefs are going to win all those injuries, you would have said, yeah, right. That means the Bengals had to play really badly. And the Bengals didn't play badly. Their defense played well enough to win. Special teams wasn't bad. Their offense, when you're under pressure, it changes things. And as Dusty said last week, that was his number one thing. For me, it was the game plan for Andy Reid. I thought the game plan early was fine. I mean, they got the ball out of his hands quick, had a screen or two. I was cool with that. And then, you know, Kelce was not 100% effective because of his back, and they took him away. The Bengals did the right things. I think the Bengals did everything they needed to do defensively. I think the problem for the Bengals and why they lost this game is the offensive line and the pressure on Burrow. That's why they lost the game, and that goes to what Dusty said is his number one point of emphasis. And listen, I agree with Dusty that was very important, but I didn't think it was number one because you can still win by getting sacked a lot. The Bengals already proven that in a playoff game on the road against a one seed, and they almost still did it yesterday anyway. But at the same time, you just look at how pressure can change a quarterback being a little bit quick to throw the ball. I mean, the pressure caused him to throw the pick to Jalen Watson that the Chiefs didn't take advantage of. Big-time players got to come up big in big-time games. Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes did not last year in the AFC title game. They did not. Not in the second half, especially. They did last night when they really had to make a play. Those two made plays. And then a lot of these young guys, instead of some of those older, grizzled veterans they got rid of from last year's team, these younger, athletic guys made plays as well. It was a complete team win. It had to be a complete team win. And if this was the exact same team the Chiefs had last year playing last night, they would not have won this game. I am convinced of that. They had to have that youth and that exuberance. They had to have that athleticism. And you had to have a supercharged, motivated Chris Jones. And you had to have, like I said, maybe a blessing in disguise. Mahomes talk about being the underdog. We talked about last week. What about now the Chiefs have the chip on their shoulder? And technically, they were the favorite, 2-point favorite going into the game on Sunday. But they felt disrespected. They used the chip on their shoulder, much like the Buffalo, saying, how in the world is this not a neutral site game? Well, we'll take care of it. The Chiefs wanted this game so badly. And sometimes you want a game so badly, you press and you make mistakes. And the Chiefs, for the most part, did not do that last night. And it adds to the legacy of Patrick Mahomes. We even talked about last week that he could do this and it would add to his legacy. It does. We're not going to talk about the Super Bowl right now. We're going to enjoy this. We'll talk Super Bowl later in the week. And then we got 2 weeks to do that. But it is a terrific win. Now, for all of you that listen on the show on a very regular basis, I'm going to go ahead and I'm up. I actually had this. Now, this tells you that I thought there was a chance the Chiefs were going to win. I don't want anybody to tell me, well, Wade, you picked the Bengals to win. You thought the Chiefs had no chance to win. I never said the Chiefs had no chance to win. I said, based on what I've seen from both teams this year, I go by the old Dusty Dynas adage. I'll believe it when I see it. When we're all these people telling me, well, Chris Jones has to have a big game. And I'm like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, I saw it. I saw it last night with my own eyes. But I'm going to play a little bit of this from Friday. I said I'd be more than happy to make fun of myself, be more than happy to eat crow. But listen to the first part. It was pretty accurate. But here's the thing. I listened to my heart instead of my head for the Buccaneers-Chiefs Super Bowl. I was wrong. Now, this time, listen to this, because I went back and listened to it to today, part of it. I'm like, oh, my God, I should have listened to my heart. My heart was dead on. Here's my heart talking. I can see the scenario where this is the game that we look back on and say, Mahomes wasn't 100%. He played above and beyond, tremendous adrenaline. Mahomes scrambled a few times nobody saw coming. He did a helicopter into the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. Mahomes' legacy is intact, and he takes them on a last-minute drive, and the Chiefs beat the Bengals, and they finally slay the giant that bothers them the last three times. That is what my heart says. My heart says that Andy Reid can't lose four times in a row to the Bengals and Zach Taylor. My heart says that Mahomes can't lose to Joe Burrow four straight times. So I've got to put my heart, and I need to shove it in the corner, in the closet, and I got to use my head. Guys, I have looked at all of this from every way come Sunday, and I hope to God I am dead wrong. I can look at the billboard material. I can look at Burrowhead by Mike Hilton and Eli Apple. I can tell you all the talk by the Bengals, the cockiness by the Bengals, the arrogance of the Bengals. I can talk about the Chiefs being at home. I can talk about Andy Reid so great, and he's going to have a great game plan. I can talk about Chris Jones is finally going to break through. I can be optimistic as anybody. Mahomes is he's the best quarterback in the pocket. I mean, I could go through all of these scenarios. The crowd's going to be so unbelievable that Burrow won't be able to hear himself think. And at the end of the day, guys, I got to go to my head. And I got to believe my eyes. And my eyes don't see the Chiefs winning this game. my eyes tell me that when Mahomes has been 100% healthy, they still lose to the Bengals. My eyes tell me that Joe Mixon didn't play last game and they still beat the Chiefs. My eyes tell me that the Chiefs, until they do otherwise, find ways to make a mistake on offense to lose to the Bengals in the fourth quarter. Guys, I can't pick the Chiefs to win this game because my eyes won't let me, and I'm not going to let my heart do it. So I'm taking the Bengals. I think the Bengals are cocky and arrogant for a reason, because they're the best team in the AFC. They've proven it. I got the Bengals, and I got the Bengals winning this game by I'm ready to eat crow. Everybody listening, I am ready to eat, not physically crow, but I'm ready to eat and own up and be completely wrong, and I'll be happy to make fun of myself come Monday morning. I want to be wrong. I want to do that on Monday. But I got the Bengals winning by 10. I've got the Bengals winning this game 27-17. So I guess shame on me for not believing in 15. Shame on me for not believing in Andy Reid.
Mr. Madison, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
I own it.
I was waiting for the what a maroon one.
Yep. Yep. I own it. I own it. I own it. I am more than happy to own it. I had a friend trying to bet me a six-pack of beer on the game. He was trying hard for me to bet, and I said, listen, this is how this works. I will never bet against my team, ever. I never have, and I never will. Will I pick against my team? Yes. But I will never bet against my team. And I was asked, why would you never bet against your team? And I said, because if I bet against my team and I'm wrong, somebody can come back and say, when I say, you got to believe in your team, or you got, you know what, they can come back on you and they can say, you actually bet against your team. I don't want anybody to have that on me for my entire life. I will never, ever, you're not supposed to say never, Wade, I will never, ever bet against my team. Will I pick against them? Sure. I picked against KU. They won. I picked against the Chiefs. They won. Okay. I've picked against K-State before. They've won. I've done it against, I picked against Oklahoma. I like football. I've picked games where I've been completely wrong. I'm more than happy to be wrong. More than happy. More than happy. And what's crazy is, when I should have trusted my head instead of my heart, I got it wrong. I trusted my heart. When I should have trusted my heart instead of my head on Friday, I trusted my head and it should have went with my heart. Because if you listen to what I just said about the heart, I mentioned him scrambling and he plays well and Chris Jones comes through and the Chiefs crowd is insane and over the top and Burrow can't hear. And, you know, a lot of that stuff actually happened. So everything apparently my heart's smarter than my brain.
Yeah, I was listening to that and I'm like, everything except the helicopter and, yep, and Andy Reid's game plan was still Andy Reid's game plan.
Yeah,
it wasn't. He didn't change anything. Like,
didn't seem like it.
You know, they didn't really try to establish a run, and I did tell my buddy, I was like, even though they're, even if they try, Cincinnati knows that's what they might be trying, yeah, to do, because Mahomes is limited mobility, so it's hard and it's tough to do that.
Did,
I get it.
They did have
it's
more the in the NFL. Box a little bit.
Yeah, it's the NFL. They were ready for that, mm-hmm, and so I can't fault them too much for that, because mm-hmm, obviously they ended up winning the game, so it didn't matter in the end. But it is, yeah, a lot of that stuff was. And that's what we were talking about, right, on Friday. It's like all the stuff we said that the Chiefs needed to do, they pretty much did, yeah, right? Like, mm-hmm, they did most of what we said they needed to do. We just didn't think they were going to do it.
Right.
It's like,
right,
this is what they need to do, but we're not saying they will.
Yeah. In anybody's defense that picked the Bengals, like, you know, there's kind of the unwritten rule that for Vegas, they have a three-point cushion for the home team, right? So if you take that away in a neutral field, supposedly the Bengals would actually be favored. Yes. Yeah, I know it's just a little bit, but yeah, like either side, whichever, you're not, you know, nobody went with some, you know, nobody had a bold prediction if one team was going to win or not. It was that close of a margin on any game. So I just don't, you know, it was a coin flip game. You try to do the best you can. You know, Mahomes was a little hobbled. The Bengals had won 3 in a row. I get why anybody, yeah, would pick the Chiefs because they do have 15. I get why anybody would have picked the Bengals because everything pointed that, a lot of things pointed that way. So yeah. I, you know, I, you know, I wasn't 100% confident in my Chiefs pick. I picked the Chiefs, but I wasn't I wasn't 100% confident.
Well, just think about this for a second. We talked about on Friday, we've talked about last week, the margin of error and the narrative changes so quickly. We talked about if Mahomes doesn't complete a 3rd and 15 in the Super Bowl against the Niners and Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs are 0-2 in Super Bowls. And we're sitting here going, wow, that's great. 7 straight division titles, 5 straight AFC title games. You've got to win the Super Bowl against the Eagles so Andy finally gets the Muckios back. Instead, that play obviously changed that game. That if Tyreek Hill drops it, if Mahomes gets hit as he throws, it changes everything. Look at yesterday here. Okay, where Chiefs fans are exulting and in exuberance, and they're super pleased, and they're super happy, and there's a big sigh of relief, too, by the way. But if Patrick Mahomes runs for that first down, and he doesn't get there, and he's tackled inbounds, we're going to overtime. Mm-hmm. If there's no personal foul, even if he gets a first down, and there's no personal foul hitting him late out of bounds, we're probably going to overtime. Now, who do you think had the advantage in overtime? The Bengals or the Chiefs are down to Marcus Kemp, Sky Moore, and luckily they still had Scantling, and they got a banged up Kelsey. They hadn't thrown to Gray or Fortson, I don't think, the whole game, maybe one time. The running game was ineffective.
No, might have got one catch, I think.
I think so. Ineffective running the football. And now you have to get into the whole, both teams get the ball once. Remember, that's a new rule in the playoffs this year because it's the Bills rule, but we certainly couldn't put it in after Mahomes didn't get the ball against Tom Brady, but hey, yeah, whatever. But Josh Allen doesn't get it, so we cry spilt milk. But that was a new rule. And so if Patrick Mahomes slips and falls, if Patrick Mahomes hurts his ankle worse during the game to where he doesn't get that first down, get out of bounds, or there isn't the personal foul on top of it. Actually, you could go ahead and allow Mahomes to have the first down. You don't get the 15-yard penalty on the shove out of bounds. That was the right call, by the way. Objectively, it's the right call. I know Bengal fans
just
are looking.
Don't understand how anybody can think it's not. Oh, like, there's an extra.
There's some
push
commentators like, you don't call that in that situation. I'm like, well, then why do we have officials? Why call anything?
Like, the initial contact, you might be able to argue, but there's an extra push 2 yards out of bounds.
It was an easy
both
call.
Standing
to
up.
Me, that's an easy
not
call.
Not even close.
Easy call. And there are calls that went against both teams, so let's not sit here. There were. I mean, I can pick them out. I mean, how the Chiefs got a new 3rd down and 9 with the clock thing was confusing as heck. And then they got the DPI after they got sacked, but they still punted. So they didn't get anything out of it other than the little bit less time on the clock. And if the Bengals, you know,
a little bit of extra yardage on the punt.
Right. So maybe the Bengals end up having more time at the end, and or the Chiefs have more time and they end up punting, and the Bengals get it back with 30 seconds. Who knows? But you can always point to officiating. You always can point to play calling and point to one play here or there. But you sit here today and you go, well, the Chiefs won and they controlled the game and they led pretty much the whole game and their defensive line dominated for the most part and Burrow threw two picks. But if Patrick Mahomes doesn't get shoved late out of bounds, that game goes to overtime. Who are you picking then? Because I'll bet you a lot of Chiefs fans are picking the Bengals to win in overtime. Because I saw a lot of Chiefs fans freaking out every single time the Bengals scored a touchdown, thinking the Chiefs were going to lose. They were the nervous Nellies every single time a bad play happened. Mahomes fumbles it. Oh, we're going to lose the game. Andy Reid, bad play calling, whatever you want to call it there before halftime. Oh, we're going to lose the game. Oh, we gave up 4th and 6 to Jamar Chase. We're going to lose the game. We can't let Burrow have the ball with 2:36 to go and 2 timeouts. We're going to lose the game. And I'm not, by the way, I'm talking about myself as well because I was thinking.
Oh, I was
that.
There.
And if this game goes to overtime, I actually felt confident Butker is going to make the field goal. You know who I was most nervous for? Tommy Townsend.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, please put down a good hold because I think Butker's going to drill it. Just make a good hold, a good snap. And they did. They executed it. But if Mahomes doesn't get shoved out of bounds, that game goes to overtime. And let's be honest, with all the injuries and how shorthanded the Chiefs were on offense, and they struggled to move the ball the entire second half. They had one good drive. And that was the Scantling touchdown. I would bet you 75% of America, people that know football, if not higher, would have still picked the Bengals to win in overtime. And I would have.
I would have.
Yeah. So Mahomes, his legs, gutting it out, the late hit out of bounds obviously helped, which was the right call. There were other calls that were wrong against both teams, no doubt. The Chiefs made a play late in the game to win. And I do feel sorry for the Bengals linebacker. He's a rookie. I know he's from Texas. I don't care. He's still a human being. I feel bad for him because he feels like he lost the game for his team with that late hit out of bounds. That's an effort play. We've seen Chiefs guys' effort play get called for a late hit out of bounds. I feel for him because he now has to sit on that for a whole year thinking he cost him the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing I hate. One thing I really don't like about sports. I love sports. One thing I really hate to see is a guy make a big mistake or make a mistake that you can directly contribute to. That's why they lost the game. I just want to see one team take it from the other. You know, like if Mahomes doesn't get hit out of bounds, but he gained 15 on a scramble, I would rather see that, honestly. And the Chiefs kick the field goal to win. Because I hate to see... I know for me personally, just being a coach of youth sports or when I played sports back in the day, you know, when we lost by one or two, I felt bad. But if I would have turned the ball over up one and the other team got a layup and that ends my season or something like that, you don't... Or if I miss two clutch free throws and I choke and the other team wins the game by one and our season ends, you don't think I'm going to deal with that for the rest of my life? You don't think I'm going to deal with that for the next offseason? And if I'm a senior, I'm done. You know, it happens to you as a senior, I'm done. Now, luckily for the kid for the Bengals, he's a rookie, so he's going to, you know, have more chances to atone for that mistake. And it wasn't like it was an egregious mistake. He just is hustling. He's trying, and he hit him late. It happens. So I hate to see that. And that's a little empathy for me towards that Bengals player because, you know, I feel really bad for kickers. You know, I felt bad for Ohio State kicker. He was put in a tough spot because Ohio State got conservative and then ended up settling for a long field goal, and he didn't come close to making it. And it should have never came down to that field goal. But I'm sure he's going to live with that for the rest of his life. Had I made it, we would have gone to the national championship, and we would have beat TCU because Georgia beat him by 1,000 points. So he's got to live that for the rest of his life. And I know that is part of sports. You got your goats, you got your heroes, you've got your scapegoats. You can blame it on officials. You can blame it on a guy, a kid, a whoever it is. And that's the unfortunate thing about sports. And certainly we've seen it. All of our teams have seen it. Any team that we cheered for over the years, we've witnessed somebody feeling like they lost the game for our team or whatever the case may be. Okay? You know, I can think of one with Elijah Johnson and KU. I'm sure he felt like he lost because he missed a free throw or whatever. And those people will never forget those things. They never will. Even if the Bengals go win a Super Bowl and this kid that shoved Mahomes out of bounds goes in as is the MVP of the Super Bowl next year, it's still not going to erase that moment where he feels that he cost his team the game. Now, he didn't cost his team the game. Butker still had to make a field goal. Okay, the Bengals offense could have done better. The offensive line should feel like they lost the game, if anybody should, in my opinion. And there are also three backups. Let's keep that in mind, too. So, end of the day, Chiefs win. I'm super psyched. And the Chiefs won a game exactly how we predicted they were going to have to win before the season, didn't we? Mm-hmm. It's a different style of play. That's exactly what they had to do last night. It was the new Chiefs style of play. Our offense, we trust our defense more than our offense, believe it or not. We punt on 4th and 8. We trust our special teams. We trust our defense. And then we allow Mahomes to make a few plays. I mean, Mahomes made the play on 4th and 1 to Kelsey. Huge play. Mahomes makes the pass to Scantling. Huge pass. And he makes the scramble. Mahomes wasn't super spectacular last night, but those are three plays that he made. And honestly, they were just enough on offense.
And again, it's like always seems like if the Chiefs win the game, right, that there's going to be something that's just going to add to the legacy and the lore. And obviously that last run from Mahomes. And I know there's a shove out of bounds that gave him 15 more off of it. But to be able to do what he did and have the guts to just go make this play because I'm going to put it on the line here. Yeah. And I'm going to get this first down. And he did all that and more, obviously, because he got the penalty. But there's always going to be that one play from every one of these games that's going to stand out with this guy. And, you know, it's Wasp. It's obviously the run against the Titans before halftime in the AFC Championship game. It's this play. There's so many of them that just add up and add to the legacy and lore of a guy like that that makes the national media today talk about him and not talk about what everything else the Chiefs did, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the defense is not at the front of their minds because this guy's doing this again, right? He did some crazy thing at the end of the game again to put them in a position to win. And so... I love that. I will never ever take that for granted as a Chiefs fan. Of we have this dude and he can do almost anything you need him to do at any time, as long as he has the people around him to help him out. You know, when he doesn't have an offensive line, maybe he can't do it all. But it's crazy to see it and just to have that on your team.
Yeah. Well, you saw him jump and almost helicopter in. He got across for a touchdown in Cincinnati. He wanted to win that game badly, put his body on the line. You know, another play that is overlooked is MVS extending the ball, which was not very safe, but got a first down, and they reviewed it. Andy challenged and won that challenge. We know how the Chiefs aren't good in 4th and 1, and thank God the Chiefs didn't have to try to snap it on 4th and 1 because they were going to go for it. That was another overlooked play that, you know, Scantling really came through with everybody else hurt.
Oh, absolutely.
That was huge.
That was the game that I was expecting what he could be with the Chiefs,
yeah,
right?
Right. Like, but he hadn't done it all year.
When he signed, it was like, this this could be a dude, right? And but they've just never and they threw that little bubble to him at one point, and he ended up getting a lot of yards. I'm like, why? I don't understand why we haven't used him more like that this year, to use that speed that he does have if you're not connecting down the field, right?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that play because they ran it once. But my oldest son was talking about when the Chiefs needed yardage to get in field goal range, why don't they run a bubble screen to a wide receiver? I mean, he was talking about it. And I was like, yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Kelsey's your decoy. Have some blockers in front. But luckily the Chiefs didn't have to try and go that route.
And I know there's a lot of guys that they need to get the ball to during the regular season. So it's easy to say, hey, run these little screens or passes in the flat to MVS.
A lot of times you're going to do that with Hardman or Tony now because they got even more. Well, they're all fast, that's for sure. The Bengals, 63 offensive snaps, the Chiefs 66. The Bengals ran the ball just 17 times. The Chiefs ran it just 20 times. The Bengals averaged 4 yards a carry, so I'm still confused as to why the Bengals gave up on the running game, but I'm happy they did. And
yeah, that makes even less sense than the Chiefs giving abandoning the run.
That's right. That's right. And, of course, the turnovers, the Chiefs, we said on Friday, Chiefs need to be plus one probably or better to win, and they were there, plus one. Time of possession was important. Bengals sometimes really hoard the time of possession, limit possessions. The Chiefs had the ball 33 minutes, the Bengals 27. That was important as well. Time of possession is misleading at times, but that was important. But probably the biggest stat was the Chiefs' defense sacked Joe Burrow 5 times. They hit him 12 times. They hurried him, and they forced the 2 interceptions. And that was, once again, I give more credit to the defense for winning that game than the offense. I know it's a team sport. Listen, there have been many times over the years we talked about the defense was carried by the offense. I feel like the defense carried the offense last night to where they've helped carry them to the Super Bowl. And by the way, that's you got a better chance of winning multiple Super Bowls if you're a more balanced team. You might not score 40 a game anymore, but if you've got an offense that's still productive and then you've got a defense that obviously can be a top 10 defense, Chiefs defense played like a top 10 defense last night. And after the game, I'm sitting here and going, imagine if Mahomes had a top 10 defense as much as Tom Brady has, or Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow had a top 10 defense this year. The Chiefs are like 15th right in the middle. But imagine if the Chiefs had a top 10 defense, what the Chiefs could do. It takes pressure off Mahomes, takes pressure off the offense. And last night, there's pressure for everybody, obviously. But the defense, previous years, that game, there's no way the Chiefs win it. But this year, the defense was improved. So it's a team effort, complete three phases. Chiefs win. They're going to the Super Bowl, 23-20. So that's 4 straight games. Bengals and Chiefs come down to the final minutes and a field goal difference. And in a couple of cases, field goals, obviously. Well, 3 of the 4 games have been decided by a field goal late in the game. So there you go. If you believe in karma, it came back around, and the Chiefs are moving on to the Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles ended up making it to the Super Bowl as well as they take care of the 49ers.
Minshew goes to a knee on that snap, and the clock will tick down as the coaches will meet at midfield. The teams will empty the sidelines, and the crowd in incredible elation right now with this win. We're down to 5 seconds, and the Eagles have been the NFC's best team all season long. Zeros on the clock, and they will carry that momentum with big wins in the divisional round against the Giants and here in the championship round against San Francisco, all the way to Arizona and Super Bowl 57. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to the Super Bowl again.
Thankfully, the Chiefs-Bengals game was exciting because that game was not. And listen, you want to feel bad for somebody? Feel bad for the 49ers. Now, if you're an Eagles fan, you don't care. But imagine if yesterday Patrick Mahomes got hurt, Chad Henne got hurt, and Jerick McKinnon was your quarterback for the whole second half. That's close to the equivalent. Or just imagine, Patrick Mahomes hurts his arm, he can't throw. Henne comes in, gets a concussion, he leaves. Mahomes has to come back in, he can't throw the ball, his elbow's busted. How would Chiefs fans feel today? Like, you worked all year long. All year long to get to that point. The Niners had overcome injuries to their starter, their backup, who had been a starter, and then they got Purdy, who's undefeated, playing well, and then they even bring in Josh Johnson, and they were 7-7, and he got hit with a concussion. He had to leave the game. They were hanging in there. And then Brock Purdy came in because they didn't have a third quarterback, because most teams don't activate a third quarterback. And I was listening to the radio broadcast on Westwood One coming back from Salina yesterday. Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame quarterback, knows the position pretty well. And he pointed out what I was wondering. And he said, you know, when the last collective bargaining agreement or whatever, the agreement between the Players Association and the NFL, they added a couple of roster spots. Like you could have, like, I don't know all the details, but I think you could have more on your practice squad and you could elevate and whatever. There's a little more flexibility is the point. And he said, and when they did that, they eliminated the emergency quarterback provision. And what the emergency quarterback provision was is that you have your lineup set at kickoff, okay? You have your 53-man roster, whoever's going to be ready to go for the kickoff. The Chiefs, obviously, yesterday deactivated Justin Watson. They elevated Marcus Kemp, so forth and so on. So you have your 53-man roster. But you have a 54th man that's possible. And that is, if the your top two quarterbacks get hurt and cannot come back in, you can activate right there, emergency activation, and have your third-string quarterback be able to play. He's dressed and ready, mm-hmm. and then he is ready to play. It's the emergency quarterback designation. The NFL had that for many, many years. I still, for the life of me, don't understand why it was eliminated. It's not like somebody had some big advantage. It's not like it happens very often. But from a fan standpoint, and from somebody even that didn't have a dog in the fight, watching that game yesterday, it's about wanting to enjoy a football game to where the Niners could at least had another quarterback available to play. Now, you can sit here and you can say, well, that's on the Niners. They should add three active quarterbacks. True, but they're already on their third string, and you're trying to maximize your roster everywhere you can. Obviously, Marcus Kemp came through yesterday for the Chiefs, clearly, right? Mm-hmm. So every move on the roster is paramount and pivotal. You don't want to waste it on a third-string guy that you think will never play, and the odds of him ever playing in the game are slim to none. But yesterday, there was that emergency situation, and the Niners had no options. And so the Eagles knew they couldn't throw the ball. Eagles end up rolling 31-7, and it really stinks that all these guys bust their butt, put in all this work, and then all their quarterbacks get hurt. It's just amazing that would happen.
I read that Kyle Juszczyk was actually the emergency if Purdy couldn't have actually gone back out and done nothing, but at least took snaps as a quarterback.
Yep. And they could have done that. I mean, but he's already active.
Yeah.
He's already active.
Yeah, and he's not
not an emergency designation.
That can't be any better than...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my point is
you
get an
emergency quarterback because you have to have a quarterback.
Right.
It's not the designation that they used to have.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And even at that point, you're like, okay, you're on third and now fourth string.
Yeah.
During the game,
right.
Do you have? I'm sure they have a practice squad quarterback.
Oh, I guarantee you they
do. It's just like, who would that have been?
Yeah.
I don't even know who it is.
But listen, at least they would have had a guy that's able to throw the ball.
There's a quarterback. Yeah.
Would they have won the game? Probably not.
Yeah.
But at least you would have had a real quarterback back there, because Brock Purdy, all he could do was hand off and throw a short, quick little pass. That's all he could do. So that was unfortunate for the Niners. So it's Eagles Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Eagles in his second year going to the Super Bowl.
We know that's a really good defense. There's no doubt about it. But we got five of the toughest guys in the NFL on that offensive line, led by Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson and Jordan and Landon and Isaac. And then not to mention everybody just sells out for each other in the run game. That's what's special about a team. You know, maybe AJ didn't have the catches. Devontae didn't have the catches. They're blocking their butts off. And it was special. This is just a dream come true. This is an unbelievable city with unbelievable fans. And love these guys that we were able to do this together. And so it's surreal. But, you know, we got one more.
All right, got one more. One more. And Andy Reid is going to play his former team in the Super Bowl coming up a couple weeks in Glendale, Arizona. If you want to go to the game and get a ticket, only $5,400 plus broker fees. I bet the broker fees are about $500, $1,000 on top of that. And I don't count your hotel, don't count your airfare, don't count your gas. You can drive all the way to Glendale. Yeah, I'll just stay home and watch it. Sure. I would love to go to the Super Bowl once in my life. But, guys, it's ridiculous. It's priced for rich people. And then they sit on their hands. It's not that loud. The atmosphere, the AFC title game and NFC title game are way better than anything the Super Bowl puts together in regards to a crowd environment. You can feel it on television, too.
Charge it to Don Hyland.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Ah, Jason, you did that. You just lost points right there with Don Hyland. He's now going to blame me, though. He'll blame me that I have, you know, circumvented and warped your mind.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I brainwashed you, apparently. Jason knows what he's talking about. I just want everybody to know that. By the way, if you're following our betting stuff, we've been kind of doing some of this. So after the playoffs, I guess we got the Super Bowl yet, but I went 4-2 last week, got everything right with Philly, got two of the three things wrong with the Bengals Chiefs. Dusty, unfortunately, 1-5. Jason was 4-2. I was 4-2. And so the overall statistics after the playoffs, in case you guys want to decide whether you want to bet more on FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever it is, and I don't do any of that stuff. Jason, 12-12, 500, so even money. Dusty be just a hair below, 11-13. I was 17-7 with all the over-unders, covers, and picks and everything else.
When you look at my FanDuel account, it correlates.
Yeah. So you're saying you don't have different picks when you're on the radio compared to what you pick on your phone.
I gotcha. I immediately regretted saying the overs in that Eagles Niners game. I wasn't gonna like take it back or whine about it, but on air.
I immediately regretted the money when Purdy went down.
Yeah.
When I thought about it,
who could predict that though?
Right as it was time to put the bet in, I'm like, they're not making that number. So I actually put a bet in with the unders, but I said on air the overs. But that's
I've talked with some people. They're like, do you do all this stuff? I said I don't bet on any of that stuff. I hardly ever go to the casino. Maybe once a year at the most. And I just never gotten big into that. I do some stuff in the stock market, but I don't gamble. I don't gamble in regards to FanDuel, everything legalized here in Kansas. But I did this to see, like, well, would I do okay or not? But this is fool's gold probably because this is sucking me in. I did fairly well, and then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I think I can do it.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna definitely do poorly.
I've been, you know, it says 500 on the sheet. You know, when Kansas, you know, said it was good and it started. I have the same small amount of money. I'm playing with that same money that I put in to begin with. Uh-huh. So I'm not winning anything that I'm able to take out and use, and I'm not losing anything that I don't have anything in the account. So it's mainly just a waste of time for me as I end up pretty even.
Well, you're not having to dig deep and put more in.
Right.
Like
right.
At the casino, you run to the ATM again. Oh, convenient right. ATM's right around the corner.
Right. And no matter what happens, I'm not going to be able to retire tomorrow if I have a good week. And then I'm not going to be able to, you know, I'm not selling my blood plasma if I have a bad one. So,
yeah. Well, I hope you don't have to go that far.
Right.
McCullough will get it across the timeline. High fives and smiles all around.
Did you see the emotion by Bill Self with the fist pump and just loves this win?
He's never lost four in a row at Kansas, and it's not happening tonight. You can rock. Chalk it up. The Jayhawks win 77-68. The blue-blooded battle goes to Kansas.
College basketball game, I didn't have a good feeling about Kentucky-Kansas at all for KU. And Kentucky jumped out early 9-4, but KU settled down and made plays. Man, I tell you what, in the second half, late in the second half, Jalen Wilson hit a three, Grady Dick hit a three, McCullough hit a three with a shot clock winding down after he badly turned his ankle, had to go to the locker room and came back. And a lot of KU fans have been down on Kevin McCullough, and I know he's not played as well the last couple of weeks, but he is a guy, he's one of my favorites because he does all the dirty work. He'll play defense, he'll dive on the floor, and he gutted it out, and he was a big reason why they won this game against Kentucky. And I don't know why Kentucky didn't throw the ball into Oscar Tshiebwe more often. He was open many times, and they didn't throw it to him. And once again, like the Bengals not running the ball, I'm thankful for that. And KU wins. Jalen Wilson, another great game, 22 points. KJ Adams back on track. He's the X factor. He plays well. KU plays well. He had 17. Grady Dick, 13. McCullough, 11 points, 12 rebounds, a double-double. And Grady Dick, Wilson, McCullough all hit those critical threes down the stretch. KU now 17-4 on the season. Ends a three-game losing streak. Kentucky now 14-7. KU back in action. Big 12 play tomorrow night against K-State at Allen Fieldhouse at 7 o'clock. Certainly KU's looking for a little payback there. Bill Self, really proud of his team and the win in Lexington.
Our boys played like men tonight. You know, got off to what was it, like 9-4?
Yeah.
Not a great start again, but after that we controlled the rest of the game. I mean, we when we took the lead finally about, what was it, like 23-22, something like that, and then we controlled it the rest of the game. I thought we played great. I thought our defense was really good, considering that guy's really hard to guard. But what we did best was we rebounded the basketball.
So KU, a nice win in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. K-State, no problems with Florida.
Lead of the game. Johnson loves it against his former mates. The Cats up 23.
Keontae Johnson, 13 points, 11 rebounds, double-double. K-State cruises to the win. They're up 21 at halftime, 64-50 the final. Marquise Noel had 13 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and Naquan Tomlin had 11. Jerome Tang, proud of his team in the win.
It's just incredible. I was proud of our guys. I came up with an excellent plan defensively. We needed to improve our rebounding. I thought we did a better job. Part of that was scheme. Part of it was David playing, right? And he just brings so much to the table. And I mean, they had won 5 of 6 games, and so they were playing at a high level, and so I was very proud of how our guys responded.
Talking about David Gasson is back in lineup for K-State as they get the win. So K-State wins 64-50. KU beats Kentucky 77-68. Big 12 goes 7-3 in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Oklahoma blew the doors off number 2 Alabama, 93-69 in Norman. That's the 9th. Place or 8th place Big 12 team against the number 1 team in SEC, and it wasn't even close. West Virginia, towards the bottom of the Big 12, knocked off number 15 Auburn 80-77. Number 17 Baylor beat Arkansas 67-64. Texas Tech, who is winless in the conference, beat LSU by 8. Oklahoma State won by 22 over Ole Miss. The SEC wins. Iowa State lost to Missouri 78-61. Mississippi State beat TCU in overtime. TCU ranked 11th. It should be pointed out TCU is missing 3 starters. Their best player got hurt 4 minutes into the game, the Miles kid. So, and TCU still almost won. So if they'd been healthy, odds are the Big 12 would have gone 8-2. And then you got to always count on Texas to lay an egg. 10-10 Texas gets beat soundly by number 4 Tennessee in Knoxville. 82-71 was that final.
He's a perfect 10. Not only champion of Australia for a 10th time, but he is the best player on the planet again.
Well, Novak Djokovic did it after not being allowed in the Australian Open a year ago because he didn't get the COVID vaccine and is unvaccinated. He rolled through the tournament, lost just one set. He wins at straight sets yesterday morning. 22nd Grand Slam title. The win ties him for the most all-time Grand Slams with Rafael Nadal. Ariana Sabalenka came back from a set down to win in 3 over Elena Rybakina in the women's final. It is Sabalenka's first career Grand Slam. So Australian Open is in the books. So, what a weekend. If you were a KU Chiefs fan, K-State Chiefs fan, I mean, everybody, if you're a Missouri Chiefs fan, Missouri won as well. It was a very good weekend for all of our regional schools when it comes to all of that. And we leave you with, well, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're going to really like all this stuff. And if you're not, well, I would apologize, but I'm not going to.
Looking for the lead. Bucker. Snap. Placement. Bucker's kick. He's got it! Kansas City in front with 3 seconds remaining. Butker approaches. It's a line drive. It bounces at the 24. Trenton Irwin scoops it up at the 10. Irwin will throw a lefty pass backwards. Caught at the 19-yard line. Taylor is gang tackled, and it is over! The Kansas City Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl for the 3rd time in 4 years.